What really makes us better people is our capacity to question the status quo to achieve positive change. If you are seeking to adopt new habits, to learn about a kind lifestyle, low-waste living, and speaking up for justice, you have come to the right place. Together, we will make the switch that will light up this world. I'm Morgan, and I'm happy to welcome you on this journey. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to this new episode of the Positive Switch podcast. Today I thought, well, not only the corona time, but every day is a new opportunity to apply some great habits in one's life. And Mark and I just, seized the chance to talk to you about three great habits which you could right now implement in your life and which will definitely contribute to you having a better health and more energy in your everyday life.
More than three habits.
More than three?
Yeah.
Okay,
because three topics?
Yeah, three like over topics,
yeah.
Or sub... subtitle is under, I don't know what's... So, the bigger topics.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are the three bigger topics?
I think easiest... I mean, there are tons of things that you can improve in your life, but I think the easiest are... that are in your control.
Mm-hmm.
Food, exercise, and sleep.
Okay.
Of course, you can do stress management, but I'm not an expert in that at all, so I'm not even going to talk about that.
Okay.
Because I have no idea.
But that could maybe also be part of exercise, depending on if people do yoga.
Yeah.
It's getting active and relaxing at the same time.
Yeah. There are some. I'm sure there are some techniques that you can apply to deal with your stress levels.
Mm.
And I'm also not sure about the health outcomes when you are too stressed. So I'm not that... I haven't read that much about the dangerous effects of stress. I know that, that it is dangerous, but I just have no idea.
Maybe
about stress.
That would be one for the future to have in our bookshelf. Something about stress.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's important as well. And, many people undergo stress or some form of anxiety or self-shaming, self-judgment. I think.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you cannot know everything. You have to know what you're interested in and chase that.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it won't do us any
Let's
harm.
Let's get to the point.
No, but right, it won't do us any harm, cook. Sorry, look, because we have really a variety of different books that we're interested in. And
I have never heard of a good book.
On stress?
Right.
Okay.
One that is not woo-woo style.
What's woo-woo? Explain that.
Can we just talk about food?
No, because people have to understand what's woo-woo.
Woo-woo for me is
How do you define it?
That's tough for me. I know it's important to be grateful. I know it's important to enjoy your life, but...
Said things that people claim are helping them and are positive in their lives, but that hasn't really been shown, proven by science.
Yeah, it's not hard facts. That's always hard for me to... get on.
Okay. All right.
And if it helps you, then cool. But who am I to tell someone else from just anecdotes?
Okay.
So if it makes you feel great, if you are thankful for whatever, then great, do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've yet to see scientific studies.
Evidence.
That show... But that's just because I'm not interested in that kind of research.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be some studies on stress management regarding write down what you're grateful for, write down what you're... whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. But like I said, this is not my topic.
Okay.
So I don't want to give advice just because I heard three people claiming that they felt good after...
writing every day for 1 month what,
exactly.
what they were grateful for.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's get into the core of the topic and let's start with food. Why is that important? How? What kind of food should people be implementing more of in their diet? Where should their focus be laid on?
On whole plant foods.
Okay.
So the more whole plant intact foods you can manage to get into your diet, the better. Doesn't matter if you like cooked or raw vegetables more, whatever way you prefer eating them will give you the most benefit.
Okay.
But I think there are some, so all, like I said, all plant foods are, broadly speaking, a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there are some foods that are especially powerful
mm-hmm.
that you might want to eat them on a regular basis or even on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Like I told you, I think there's not really any superfoods. I think that's a term that's used more in marketing.
It was misused a lot.
Exactly. It was misused a lot, and I think it can misinform people just to get their money.
Mm.
And I think what we should say instead is basic foods that give you, that have super benefits or superpowers, whatever you fancy to call it.
I actually think the term superfood is quite good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was abused by the food industry to sell you goji berries and chia seeds for, I don't know how many, or acai berries for how many ever dollars.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those foods are powerful and are healthy, but there are other foods that are, if not more,
yeah.
powerful than that.
And they're not talked about that much.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're not new, they're not fancy. For example, let's say flax seeds are, in my opinion, it is a superfood.
Mm.
But you can trick people by selling them flax seeds, because flax seeds are known in Germany for, like, or in Europe for, I don't know, thousands of years.
Exactly.
But
so
if you tell them, oh, there's some new foods, dragon fruit, what, goji berry from Himalaya, whatever, where it comes from, you can make a story, but you cannot make a story behind flax seeds.
Yeah.
It's too boring to
and
sell.
That's exactly what happened to me. I remember clearly, like, I generally thought that those foods were, like, brandly new discovered, like
right.
they just had been discovered by scientists whatsoever, and I saw them in like a, it's not a pharmacy, but it's like a
remedy,
no, like a CVS, they call it like pharmacy store.
Mm-hmm.
But they have like more things, like more supplements.
Mm.
And that kind of stuff.
I see.
And different types of powders, plant powders and that stuff. And then I saw like this brand, it was just, it looked so appealing.
Yeah.
And different colors, and it was like chia seed, that's good for that, and then goji berries and hemp.
Yeah.
Seeds were a big like trend.
Mm-hmm.
As well. And I was like, okay, I'm getting lucuma powder, maca powder, that powder, powder,
right.
powder,
yeah.
powder. And then I was like, I'm just gonna
mash
like,
all together,
mash everything,
everything
in, crumble
yeah.
everything in my smoothies, and then I'm gonna be like a superhuman.
Yeah.
And then like with the experience now, I, for me, like they're just like everyday foods.
Yeah.
and they're important clearly, but they're not like that big of a hip, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that proves exactly the point that marketing works.
Yeah.
Because we are like, humans are silly. That's why people are doing marketing, because it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are putting so much money into marketing, because it pays off in the end.
Yeah.
For these industries.
Yeah.
And like I said, you can make money off broccoli and flax seeds and, I don't know, sunflower seeds.
Mm.
But you can make a lot of money off goji berries, chia seeds, and
yeah, and think about
spirulina
it,
powder, and whatever. People take like 5 grams of and think.
But think about it. They also sound quite cool. The names,
yeah,
are a bit
course.
Exotic.
Sexy. Yeah.
So people are like, oh, it comes like from,
yeah,
South America.
Yeah, that's really good.
Like,
yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. These foods are great, and they are consumed by the people who ever live where these foods are consumed.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, Mother Nature provided all the places where humans live, most of the places,
mm-hmm,
with some places have more good foods and some less. You know, maybe it was a bad idea for humans to go north,
mm-hmm,
for I don't know how many millions of years ago, because it's cold here in the winter.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Mother Nature provided most of the regions on Earth with some sort of superfood.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like in South America, South America, it might be the chia seeds, and in Europe, it's flax seeds.
Yeah.
And it's not goji berries, it's blueberry.
Or cranberries.
Yeah.
Which are also, yeah.
Or whatever. Fruits and vegetables.
So let's like dig in and explain like what kind of foods are important, what kind of foods should we definitely increase in our diet.
So I might want to explain the research from two doctors, some experts that I look up to, or that I got some of my education from.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Dr. Greger.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, many of you might have heard of him or of his app or system. It's called the Daily Dozen Checklist. There's also an app. My phone is recording, so
mm-hmm.
I can't show you. It's basically just a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
And it has 12 foods on there. Let me try to remember all of them. So 12 foods that you should incorporate daily. And not 12 foods, but in different portions. So you should aim for 2 servings of this and 1 serving of this. I can't remember the serving sizes, but I might do remember all the foods that are on there. So there are, you should eat berries every day.
Yeah.
You should eat nuts and seeds every day.
Mm-hmm.
Flax seeds as well. So nuts and seeds, and another one is flax seeds. Then we have cruciferous vegetables. We have green leafy vegetables, other vegetables, just regular fruit, dried or fresh. Herbs and spices, or frozen herbs and spices. Drink enough, so beverages. And what else in there? Legumes, whole grains,
green
and
leafies.
I mentioned that in the 12th one. Is it right? The 12th ingredient of that list.
Okay, yeah.
Is movement.
Okay. Oh.
Or exercise movement. Yeah.
Which is not really a concrete food, but it's something you should.
Yeah.
Too. Okay.
And then you can add to the list, depending on where you live, a vitamin D supplement, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But for everyone who eats plant-based, B12, of course, that should
yeah.
be no.
Whether you're vegan or not, B12.
Yeah, just take it.
Yeah.
So these are the 12 food groups, food groups, you can say, that you should aim for regarding his research.
Mm-hmm.
There's another fancy acronym by Dr. Furman called G-bombs. He coined this term, and that stands for greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds. In his opinion, these are the foods that are especially beneficial for human health.
Mm-hmm.
For example, mushrooms, because they are known to be anti-angiogenic. So they provide anti-angiogenic effects, which means so angiogenesis means the formation of new blood vessels to a tumor,
mm-hmm.
or to a cancer cell, to feed the cancer with oxygen and nutrients and stuff. And mushrooms contain anti-angiogenic substances that inhibit the formation of new blood vessels
to tumors
or to cancer cells,
mm-hmm.
or to cancers. So that's just one of the examples. Mushrooms are the only plant, well actually it's not even a plant because mushrooms is a family in its own.
Mm-hmm.
So you should eat a whole food plant-based plus mushroom diet.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the foods that he recommends, and I try to mix both of these systems. It really doesn't matter if you hit them every day, of course that's great,
mm-hmm.
but let's say today we ran out of flax seeds and we can get flax seeds just tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, and we are 2 days without flax seeds. It's not a big deal, at least if the rest of your diet is good.
Yeah.
Right? So you should aim for hitting all of these food groups as much as you can. And if you mess it up one day, you just do better the next day. Or eat, instead of one portion of green leafy vegetables, be even healthier the next day and eat 2 of them.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I think what's really is important for me is superfood are flax seeds. Everyone should eat flax seeds.
Mm-hmm.
because for one, they are cheap.
Yeah.
They are rich in omega-3 fatty acids and alpha-linolenic acid. They are high in fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And they contain a special phytonutrient group of phytonutrients called lignans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also in sesame seeds, but concentrated in flax seeds. And that's the reason why flax seeds are positively associated with less risk of developing breast and prostate cancer, and I think have been shown to improve, I don't know which marker, but let's say improve the situation if you already have prostate cancer.
Okay. So there's lignans.
Okay. Yeah. And that's, for example, something that is not found in chia seeds. So if you compare chia seeds with flax seeds, in my opinion, flax seeds win on every point, not only on, like, they are grown locally, well, depends on where you live,
mm-hmm.
but if you live in Europe, they are grown locally. They are cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you live here, it might be a different situation if you live in Panama. But here, they are cheaper, they are grown regionally, and they contain lignans.
Okay.
So that's why, for me, flax seeds over chia seeds. Now, chia seeds are still a healthy food,
mm.
but if I had to choose, I would choose flax seeds.
Okay.
And
you would encourage people to
flax seeds every day. Tablespoon of flax seeds, like in the porridge and the smoothie, it's so easy. You can throw it in your salad.
One tablespoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can throw it in your salads, in your smoothie bowls. I think you can even mix it in your vegetable stir fry. You won't even notice.
Definitely. And ground.
Exactly, you have to eat them ground, because otherwise they just come out the other end like they came in,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get anything of the benefits.
Okay, yeah, that would be...
That's how Mother Nature like designed those little tough seeds,
mm-hmm.
that like birds and other animals eat them and then spread around the country or whatever and do their business,
mm-hmm.
creating a new flax seed. Bush.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so we have to grind. Same thing goes for chia seeds as well. They should be ground up as well.
Okay. Do you think the topic of food is covered?
Yeah. So for me, it's like eat every day flax seeds. Eat some sort of legumes.
Mm-hmm.
Eat whole grains. Berries are a good one, and try to eat a big salad every day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the optimal way of getting.
You can hit everything in one big bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you do just a green leafy vegetable or mixture. Let's say you take spinach and romaine and arugula.
Yeah, that's already three.
Right, and then you just slice in some red cabbage. It's cruciferous vegetables. You might throw in some raw broccoli, another cruciferous vegetable. Then you do herbs and spices, of course. You make a dressing with, let's say, tahini and lemon. So you hit nuts and seeds. Then you do some flax seeds, so you cover that as well. You can do fruits. An apple goes in there as well, goes well in salads, or berries, dates, raisins, avocado, tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You can even add apple cider vinegar, which is very important if you want to lose weight,
mm-hmm.
because apple cider vinegar helps losing weight because it amps an enzyme called AMPK.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to learn more, just go on nutritionfacts.org, type in amping AMPK or AMPK. Short version, not short version, but fun fact, that's actually the same pathway that gets activated when you smoke cigarettes. So nicotine amps up AMPK as well, which is a fat-burning hormone, which is the reason why people tend to gain weight when they start smoking, or lose weight when they start smoking.
Why?
But you don't have one of the reasons. Then you don't have to smoke cigarettes to get the benefits of this, because nicotine is
from a plant. You get cancer as well.
Right, it comes from a plant, so it makes sense that it is found in other vegetables as well. So it's found in nightshade vegetables, bell peppers, aubergine, eggplant.
Okay.
And in apple cider vinegar as well.
Bell shape, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that nicotine was even from a plant.
Yeah, plants contain nicotine as well.
Okay.
So there's some nicotine, I think, in bell peppers. But the amount is so small that it has no detrimental effect, because it's not so concentrated like in cigarette, of course. Yeah, so that might be helpful for weight loss as well. And yeah, you make a big bowl, salad bowl with everything. You can even do quinoa in a salad,
mm-hmm.
or chickpeas, then you add legumes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you covered that one. Nuts and seeds, I don't know, you can put everything in salad.
And we will show an example, so you can just check out our common channel, which is called Eat the Rainbow, and we're going to make a live or at least a video.
Yeah, we'll do a video.
Yeah.
It might not be a fancy video, but just
showing,
because we ate this the past, I don't know, however days, like
the
every
past
day,
week.
Maybe the same salad.
Because
it's so delicious.
It tastes so freaking amazing. There's everything in there, and literally you could eat tons of it because it's so delicious.
Yeah.
So check that out.
Yeah.
And I have one question regarding the nicotine. So, for example, like in high levels, it would hit this
AMPK.
AMPK, and it could make you lose too much weight.
It's not exactly that you lose weight. It boosts the fat burning. So it's also known as fat burning enzyme.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily that you lose weight. You can only lose weight if you are in a caloric deficit.
Yeah.
So if you are eating more than you need, then you can eat all the apple cider vinegar, you won't lose body weight.
Yeah.
But at least the fat burning activity is amped up.
Okay.
Which is a good thing if you are trying to lose weight or get in shape.
Okay.
That's not a big thing, but that's something that you can add to your list if you're losing weight. Doesn't hurt to eat. I think Dr. Greg recommends up to 2 teaspoons per meal.
Mm-hmm.
To get the maximum benefit, and why not use everything if
okay.
it's so simple.
So food, check.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I could go on for ages, so just eat whole intact.
Yeah.
Foods as much as possible.
Yeah. Check out nutritionfacts.org. I will mention.
Yeah, I
the
think
different
I said everything.
Sources that we mentioned here.
Flaxseeds, legumes.
Then going on the. Staying active
mm-hmm.
aspect. What does it? What does this englobe comprise? What is important?
Short version. I'm citing Dr. Kahn, which is a cardiologist. Who's a cardiologist, and he, in one of his books, he writes, "Butt time is bad time,"
mm-hmm.
which is precisely what it is, because sitting on your butt is not a good idea. I mean, of course, you can rest,
mm.
like all animals on Earth have to rest at some point.
But butt workout is okay.
Butt workout is fine, yeah.
Okay.
But what he means by that is sitting in a chair, like in the same position for,
yeah.
I don't know how many hours,
mm.
too long, which has negative impacts on your blood flow,
mm-hmm.
because you can restrict blood flow, and especially to get the blood from your lower limbs up to your upper body in your brain. One way this works, of course, it works through your heart, but also by contracting the leg muscles and your hamstrings and your butt.
Mm-hmm.
The blood gets pushed upwards and the lymphatic fluid is also moved by muscle contraction. So then it makes sense if you are not moving your lower limbs, that it has negative impact on your blood flow or like fluid regulation,
mm.
lymph system, blood system as
so.
Well. And it literally cripples your arteries.
Oh.
That's not a good thing either.
Okay. So what are some ways to counter that?
Try to avoid sitting as much as possible. Or if you have to sit like in the office or if there's no other way around it, then at least try to get up as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Once an hour, do a timer and then get up.
But first maybe ask your boss or try to get a standing table?
Yeah, get a standing table. That's what I mean. If there's no way around it and you have to sit, then try to sit actively.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get up as much as you can.
Yeah.
You move your legs as much as you can.
My colleagues were doing that all the time.
Or you might want to sit on a Betsy ball. These big bouncy balls.
Yeah, we had one as well.
Yeah, that's still better than an office chair.
Mm-hmm.
Try to go for a walk in your lunch break or in your breakfast break,
mm-hmm.
To get at least some disruption of the sitting, prolonged sitting. And Yeah, so that goes for office or for work.
Obviously, you can tell that Mark uncomfortable. Really comfortable with sitting.
I hate sitting in one position.
That's good. Some people can stay sitting for hours.
No. Yeah, but when you are in control, for example, at home or in your free time, then you can really try to avoid sitting and do as much as you can while standing. And it starts with simple things like reading your letters or doing the mail or scrolling through Instagram or Facebook on your phone. You can do that standing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to sit down and consume your content. You can do it while you're standing. You can do the mail while you're standing. So there are things that you can do when you have to stand. Or maybe it might be helpful to eat dinner on the floor. It might sound stupid, but you can do sit on the floor.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, because the floor is so uncomfortable, it makes you that you it's you have to change your position, because otherwise your your limbs get like, in Germany we say my foot has slept or slept in.
Okay.
It fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like tingling.
Yeah, like needles, I think.
Yeah.
And needles in.
So your body tells you when you have to change your position because it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Your knee hurts, your hip hurts, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from this position to an upright position to an...
Yeah,
you
so
switch.
Was,
you just
yeah.
switch up what your body tells you to do.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea. And you can, when you're riding, for example, do as much as you can by foot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take the car for like small...
Mm-hmm. Small distances.
Right. And if you do take the car, for example, to go shopping, take the parking lot that is...
The furthest
away from the entrance.
Mm. So that you have to walk more.
Right. Same goes for when you're driving to the gym.
Mm.
Or wherever you're parking, just take the one that is
yeah.
the most
which
furthest
is what
away.
Which
is, the good thing is, you have to worry less that someone hits your car.
Yeah.
Because people tend to park like directly in front of the entrance, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially people are going to the gym and like driving almost into the gym
into
with
the
car.
The gym.
But yeah.
Yeah.
When you do take the train or the bus, it might be a good idea
to stand
instead of sitting, right? Because most distances that we do are like 15 to 20 minutes. You can easily stand for 20 minutes. It's not a big deal. And you can move your legs at least a bit. Or at least just stand for the half of the train ride.
Yeah.
Or third, whatever. Just get up. The more, the better. And maybe get one station out before the station that you plan to go out. Makes sense?
Yeah. Well, instead of getting off at the station you plan to get off, try
yeah,
to get
earlier.
Off the one earlier.
Right, yeah.
Depending
yeah, sure.
on how far
yeah,
they
for,
are.
First off, in my situation, it makes when I go to work, when I do drive to work,
no,
in total,
driving, when you take
going
the train.
By train,
yeah.
When I get up, when I get out one station earlier, then I'm at work 3 minutes later or something.
Mm.
Because the other station is like directly at my working place, and the other one I have to walk 5 or 6 minutes.
And you also don't want to be there too soon.
Right. So in most cases, if you have the opportunity to get out earlier, it might take you an extra 5 or 10 minutes, but that's good invested time.
Okay.
Or just get in the train one later, works the same way.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
So boring.
No, it's
so,
not.
So like move your body, try not to sit as much, go outside, go for a walk once a day, take a podcast, take this podcast, take an audiobook with you, take your thoughts with you and just move your body and avoid sitting for prolonged hours in the same posture.
Okay. Which then brings us to the last bigger group, which is, well, bigger topic, which is sleep. And recently Mark and I have read, we've just finished it, a book that's called Why We Sleep, which is not here, by Matthew Walker. I think it's kind of, I don't know why, but I think it's a funny name for an author who writes about sleep. I don't know. I think it goes well together. It's like a night walker.
Mm.
That's why. Yeah, super interesting, Brooke. I never thought that sleep could be so critical in one's life. And yeah, so we have different tips that could help you, which you definitely should implement in your life to be healthier and more energetic.
Yeah.
And to prevent some diseases maybe from developing or getting into car crash and several accidents.
Yeah, unfortunately, I cannot remember all the statistics that he mentioned. So I won't try because I will butcher every study that I mentioned. But at least it was convincing for me to implement the things that he told the reader to do to avoid these outcomes.
Yeah.
Like not being concentrated, having a higher mortality risk, having a higher risk of getting hit by or getting involved in a car accident,
yeah.
Doing mistakes on your work day or in the office or wherever you are. Yeah,
being sleep deprived is definitely not something that you
then
want.
If you don't want to read the whole book to get into the topic, you can just type in Matthew Walker on your podcast device, Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Because he has done quite a lot of podcast interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that you can do for free. Just listen to him.
Yeah.
Of course, in the podcast, he tries to
condense
everything.
Yeah.
And if you want to have the longer version, then you might want to have the book.
Maybe just go for the audiobook if that's more interesting. Okay.
But something that we implemented to improve our sleep is we did that earlier on, but now we know the importance of it.
Yeah.
To get regular sleep. And by regular, we mean that going to bed and getting out of bed every day at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You're tired.
I don't know. We're talking.
So don't do like under the week, go to bed at 11.
Mm.
And then on the weekend, don't make the mistake of thinking that you can like pay your sleep debt back on the weekend, just while sleeping double the amount. It doesn't work that way.
Mm.
So try to go to bed every day, including Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Because otherwise your body just cannot handle.
It's not something like you can repay back when it's gone, like it really has damaging effects, and yeah, so you should just get your sleep time.
Yeah, so go to bed regularly at the same hour.
Mm-hmm.
Try to aim for a good 8 hours of sleep. Try not to eat right before going to bed, so maybe 2 hours or something before. Not only is it a good way to get lean,
mm-hmm.
because calories that you eat in the evening are less fattening than calories eaten at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, you don't want to get to bed with a full stomach.
Yeah.
So
which makes sense, I think.
Yeah. Of course, you shouldn't go to bed hungry AF, because that will not help. For instance, just get a nice, light, satisfying dinner.
Yeah.
Around 2 hours before going
like
to bed.
Like the salad we mentioned.
Yeah. Try to stop looking into screens,
mm-hmm.
if it's possible, 2 hours before going to bed.
Yeah.
And if that's not possible, if you have to do work at night, or if you're doing your online things at night, if you have an iPhone or an Apple device, you can switch to night shift mode,
mm-hmm.
which filters out the blue wavelengths of the light. The screen looks a little bit yellow then, but that's totally fine.
Mm.
If you don't use Apple, you can download an app for that. And you can set the timer, and the device will automatically reduce the blue light after a certain time that you put in. I would stop using social media before going to bed, because it just freaks you out if you read.
It goes with this, like stop the screen time.
Yeah.
So
or reading the newspaper before going to bed isn't a good idea, I think.
No, not something stressful. Try as I see it, the way I see it is try to really get your body relaxed by reading a book that's not too stressful, by maybe doing some yoga or meditation, whatever.
For a walk.
Exactly. So take a shower and a little bath and go for a walk, like you said.
Yeah.
But don't do something that's really like that requires lots of concentration and that...
Exercise before going to bed is another one, which is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, sometimes life happens and you have to make compromises.
Yeah.
That's a fact. I wanted to mention another one.
Don't avoid having a television in your bedroom.
Avoid.
What did I say?
Don't avoid.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, do avoid. Sorry. Do avoid having a television in your bedroom. It makes sense to me. A bedroom is not to watch TV. We don't even watch TV because we don't have the need for it.
We don't even have a TV.
Yeah, we just have a computer. And yeah, the bedroom is the least, is the last room you should have a television in. And you don't want your brain or you don't want your mind to associate sleep with television. It has nothing to do with it. And if you can also stop, it goes with the screen time, stop watching TV at a certain time, if you can, 2 hours prior to the bed time.
Mm.
But yeah, make your bedroom, don't necessarily make a ritual before you go to bed, but make your bedroom really appealing so that you're looking forward to going to bed.
Mm.
Light some candles or...
Yeah, that's what I want to say. Two things to add to the list.
Mm. The lights.
Make sure that your bedroom is dark and cold. And by cold, it's not that you have to turn the air conditioning on in there. But at least don't turn the heating on.
Yeah.
Even
never.
In the summertime, it's crazy to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the winter times, just take an extra blanket that you can throw away in the middle of the night when you're too warm. But so the bedroom should be a little colder than the rest of your flat or your apartment.
Mm.
Because it helps you to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And another one is to avoid artificial light in the evening hours. Because, it makes sense again. How is your body our body has evolved without electricity with the signaling of the sun. When the sun goes down, okay, a human goes to sleep because I can't see anything because we can't see in the dark. So it makes sense for our body to produce sleep hormones, to release some melatonin to calm you down and get ready for bed. And what we do is, it's dark outside, not now, but it's dark outside in the evening, and you're supposed to excrete some melatonin and get ready for bed because the sun sets. And what we do is we crank up every light in the room possible, lights everywhere, big screens everywhere, which totally confuses our mind.
Totally.
Because we need this dark signal
to
produce sleep hormones.
Yeah.
And if we give our body the message, hey, sun is still out, because our body does not know what electricity is.
Yeah.
It just notices light.
The light,
So it notices light and stops producing sufficient amounts of melatonin and other hormones that are necessary to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Try to avoid artificial lighting in the evening hours. I think it's easier now when it's bright outside in the summer months, but in winter it's a smart idea to light up some candles instead of lights.
Okay. And also
it's still artificial light if you want.
But
it has a different wavelength. And it's a little calming, I think.
Yeah.
It reminds on fire. I think we evolved with fire as well.
Yeah.
So.
The reason why I said that doing something that's relaxing before bed is important, because it signals to your body, to your body that it has to get ready for sleep. And your body needs those signals, like you said, with the light. When it's dark, when it becomes dark outside, then our body knows that it's the circadian rhythm, we have to go to sleep.
Hmm.
And things that you could do for people who are a bit struggling with getting tired in order to go to sleep, as Neil Barnard also explained it, you can just like mimic yawing or doing some stretch and mimic yawing with your mouth going, opening your mouth quite wide and like really stretching all your body so that progressively your body gets the feeling and for me it definitely works. I don't know. Yeah, and when I feel like I've maybe had too much artificial light, then yeah. I start doing that and progressively.
And don't drink coffee.
And don't drink things.
Maybe
that
in the morning, but not like midday or even before going to bed. It's crazy.
Yeah, because it lasts quite a long time.
Oh yeah.
In your blood.
I wanted to add something. You cannot expect to work until 10 p.m. on your computer, like staring directly into the screen with a lamp on the ceiling. The room's bright AF, and then scrolling through Instagram and tweeting something, and then going, oh, I'm going to go to bed now.
Yeah.
Sleep. Your body has like no time to.
Because suddenly it's dark that you're gonna fall asleep automatically.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and even during the sleep, your sleep might be interrupted several times because of the things that you did
and,
or did not do before.
And you might not even notice.
Yeah.
So people might say, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm immune to coffee. I can drink coffee all day long and I can still fall asleep. Sure, you might fall asleep because you are sleep deprived in the first place.
Yeah.
So then you fall asleep. But and you might sleep through the whole night, but you cannot tell. You cannot tell if your sleep wasn't like properly, because one quote of the book, it goes. You cannot tell that you're sleep deprived if you are sleep deprived.
Yeah, exactly. I love that one.
Yeah,
and I know it's a common thought, but it's quite the contrary. Alcohol does not help you to sleep.
Nope.
It's not good at all for your sleep. I think it's not good for anything.
No.
But yeah, you should definitely avoid drinking alcohol.
Yeah. For all reasons.
Yeah. For a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's everything quite well covered.
I hope so.
Yeah. If you have other questions regarding those different topics, if you want different sources of information to just deepen your research, don't hesitate to leave a comment or message me on different platforms as well as on Instagram. I truly enjoyed talking about this, and I think it's great to have like from time to time such a reminder, because we ourselves, like, sometimes it can happen to us to forget those essentials. And yeah, I think it's a great tip to just share this with you folks. And now I will just say bye and see you in the next episode. Cheers.